Blog Talk Radio.
Personal.
Roman, we just blew up their facility and stole their EMP. Other than your doctor's cold finger, I'd say it's about as personal as it can get. Phase two.
Phase two? So you just gonna keep that to yourself?
Just follow my lead, okay?
Just drop it.
Bombs away.
Split now.
Holy! Jesus!
I'm sorry. I love the way he says, got your ass at the end of that clip. Welcome, everybody, to Cinema Royale. I'm Travis Hobson. And this is kind of an exciting week for me. I'm not going to lie. Not only are we talking about the Fate of the Furious, the eighth movie in the Fast and the Furious franchise, I have to say it's my favorite franchise going. Why? Because it's like the only really successful homegrown franchise out there. Everything else is based on something else. These are totally original, and that is such a rarity nowadays that I can't help but admire the way these things have grown and evolved since Jesus Christ, 2001. God, I feel old. So we're gonna be talking about that, and of course I had to invite Julian Lytle to talk about that one because there's no bigger fan of these movies out there than him, I think. So I gotta talk to him about it. But also, this is Star Wars Celebration week. Star Wars Celebration has been going on for the last few days. We're on day three now out in Orlando. And, of course, yesterday we had the teaser trailer for Star Wars The Last Jedi. I think last time I saw like 16 million views or something like that on StarWars.com, something ridiculous. I know I've watched it at least three or four times. I'm going to be talking about that, giving my thoughts on it, and, of course, talking about some of the revelations that have been had over there at Star Wars Celebrations. We got some news on Carrie Fisher. What's the status of Leia in the upcoming movies? There's some new stuff that they got coming out to coincide with the upcoming movies. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, as well as some more news about the some behind-the-scenes stuff going on with Fate of the Furious that is kind of awesome and kind of like, what the? So, yeah, we'll be talking about that, too. A lot of stuff going on this week. But before we get started, before I bring in Julian, who I see is sitting there in the queue, I'll bring him up in a second. But I want to thank everybody who has been checking out Critical, the Movie Critics Network. Julian has his show on there. Ignorant Bliss is on there as well. You can check us all out on our Facebook page, the Critical, the Movie Critics Network Facebook page. And, of course, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We keep growing, and I appreciate that. Everybody who tunes in, check out all of our shows. We got tons of different shows. They're all of different varieties. You know how I feel about Joanna Lingfield's show and her Movie Minutes. I got to have her back on soon. Maybe next week I'll ask her to come on to talk about The Promise or something like that. But if whatever kind of podcast you like, you know, when it comes to movies, I think we've got something for you. So check out Critical, the Movie Critics Network. And also, of course, check out PunchDrunkCritics.com, where you can find me every single day writing about the movies, things that interest me in the movies anyway. You know, that's always been my thing. I like to follow movies from beginning, from conception until release. That to me is always fascinating, to see how they grow and change. And sometimes they get shelved. And in fact, when I get to the news in a little bit, we're going to talk about one of my most anticipated projects that just got shelved. sometimes it doesn't always work out, but that's one of the things I like to follow, because sometimes those things come back, you know? But anyway, let's talk about the fate of the Furious. And I'm bringing in Julian for that. What up, man?
What's going on? Black Avengers for Celebration Weekend.
This is huge, man. This is a big weekend. If you're like a, I mean, if you're a fan of Fast and the Furious and you're a Star Wars fan, this is like the ultimate weekend. This is pretty awesome.
Yeah, man. There's a lot of stuff coming out. It's kind of almost too much.
I agree. But let's start with Fate of the Furious, though. Let's start with that one. Now, this is the eighth movie in the franchise, like I said. And this one felt to me almost like a gear shift in the way that Fast and Furious was a few years ago, where things like totally evolved, things changed. This feels to me like that a little bit. Now this one finds Dominic Toretto being coerced into betraying his friends and his family, his beloved family, by a new villain named Cypher, played by Charlize Theron. And she's sort of a global terrorist, a hacktivist, similar to how Ramsey was in the last movie, but on a much bigger scale and much more violent. She convinces him to betray his family. Now, the reasons for that, of course, remain a mystery for a little while. I'm not going to spoil them here. But if you know Dominic Toretto, there are very few things that can make him ever do that. I don't think it would be that difficult to figure out. But they're related to probably what you're thinking. I don't know, Julian. I was with you at this screening. And I was as excited for all the crazy antics that went on in this movie as anybody. I always am. I think there's reached a point where there's very little that can make me dislike these movies. I almost love every ridiculous thing that happens. I fully support. When they have a submarine and a torpedo, and Dwayne Johnson can just move that joint, and just redirect it. You know what? I'm okay with that. But I'd be lying if I said there wasn't some aspect of this joint that didn't disappoint me a little bit. And most of it has to do with Cypher. But I'll get into that in a little bit. But I want to get your early impressions, your first impressions of the Fate of the Furious.
Oh, man, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than 7. Like,
really?
I thought it was because I like what it was trying to do. It was It's kind of like Cypher is Cobra. I like this idea.
You're not the first person who has brought up the G.I. Joe analogy. A friend of mine just called them G.I. Joe just this morning after watching the movie. He said they were basically G.I. Joe. I called them the A team in my review. So we're on the same wavelength.
G.I. Joe with masks because they have cars just like masks, and they do special things with cars. It didn't fall on me what they're doing. I'm like, they have secret bases and Kurt Russell's General Hulk. Like, it's just
basically become their benefactor. He's become their benefactor in a sense now. You know, he's just kind of their roving Charles Xavier who can just bankroll anything they need to do.
Yeah, because he's General Hulk. Got to fight Cobra. Like, I really like this movie. Like, I liked all the set pieces. I liked how it started like a James Bond movie because it was like, oh, we're just going to have a race just to have a race. It's just, that's the pre-roll, get you back in the, oh, we back with our friends again. I was like, I see what you guys is doing and the little battle they had. And like, I don't know how they make Dominic is able to do all that stuff with a car when he like fought them all off like a wild kid.
He pulled some MacGyver stuff in the beginning. It was as absurd as anything.
Everything.
All Dominic Toretto needs is a Pepsi top, a Pepsi can top. That's all he needs.
Yeah.
And he can beat you in a race without with the car.
he can drop any car anyway. Like, he's amazing.
That was so silly. I was just like, what the hell? I don't even want to spoil that scene for anybody because it's so crazy. It may be the craziest thing that happens in it. I mean, it's just.
In terms of car racing, it is.
It's like, ridiculous. But it also perfectly tells you who Dominic Toretto is. I thought that opening scene probably could have made a perfect post-credit scene. That's how, like, it was like this little perfect 10-minute movie if you just needed to explain Dominic Toretto. And it's like,
yes,
you know, he's in Cuba with Letty, and, you know, and his cousin's getting bullied, sort of, so he challenges to the bully to a race, car for car. Dom has to ride this jalopy. The other guy has the baddest car on the whole island. And Dom not only manages to win the race, but then he does the honorable thing, you know, and it's all about respect for him, not necessarily winning cars. And that's like Dom in a nutshell. Family
yeah.
and respect and honor are the most important things to him, period. And I think you have to understand that to understand the reason for his betrayal in the movie. But I still say that even with that, it takes a twisted sort of viewpoint on his, you know, his dedication to those things to buy into his betrayal. You see what I'm saying? It's weird.
Yeah. It's interesting.
His
betrayal is like the only thing. Like, before they said anything, it's just like, okay, who in the family got threatened for him to betray
mm-hmm.
everybody else? And it's just
right.
like, are they going to randomly threaten Mia? Are they going to somehow threaten Brian, even though he can't appear anymore? Like, what
mm-hmm.
happened? So the way they solved it, which was like, oh, wow, you got to, like, use your memory of the movie. It's like, oh, yeah,
right.
okay, I can see how that happened, and
It's
like they're building such good continuity in these movies. That's like super hard. I need to know the super intricacies of everything, but just enough like, they was chilling.
Right. I almost feel sorry for the people, for anybody who walked into this movie cold and hadn't seen the rest of them. Like a friend, like a colleague of ours brought her son to the movie and he had never seen any of them. And I was just like, Jesus. I was like, okay, well, he might be able to understand what's going on in this movie, but I guarantee you he's not going to understand a lot of it because these movies stick to their continuity as rigidly as almost anything. And this comes from a franchise that did some, you know, some retconning with Tokyo Drift. They did some retconning
yeah.
and stuff, which is fine, you know, and anybody who knows comic books knows what the word retconning means. It's retroactive continuity is when you go back and you change something in order to make it fit with what you're doing now. They did some retconning. So they played around the continuity, but ever since then, they have been as rigid as anything else.
They're better at this than Marvel and DC are.
They are. They are kind of better at it than Marvel
ain't
and
no
DC.
Holes.
I totally agree.
Ain't no holes there. I'm like, I'm trying to figure out, like, how's it like, nope, they show this. It's random. You might have to go back and watch this random part of the old movie, but it's still there.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. But going back to Dom and you know, and his dedication to family and honor, that's also one of the things that I think is probably my my biggest issue with the movie. But besides Cypher, whose plan is so ridiculous that she practically waves it off herself in the movie when she explains it. That
yep.
she's practically
yep.
that's like that part. it's like okay. She finishes explaining it and she practically just waves it off like it doesn't matter. But one of my issues has to do with Deckard Shaw. Now I love Jason Statham in this movie, and I think him. I think the best part is him and Dwayne Johnson's kind of evolving friendship in this movie. But
yeah.
I can't get over the fact that Shaw still killed Han and that they're willing to work with him, period. I can't get over it. And I can't get over Vin Diesel's Dom's trust in him. Now, I get what they would probably say, that Shaw has a similar dedication to family as Dom does. And that's why Dom felt like he could trust him. I still can't get past it.
Without spoiling the movie, I think there's a certain dedication of a mutual interest is like the only reason Deckard did what he did is because of what he felt happened to his family
mm-hmm.
and the cause of that is the reason like you would have never done this to us if X didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That, and my theory is that Han ain't dead and neither is Giselle, but that's an entirely different speculatory conversation.
Hey, look, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. They're alive, and all of a sudden next year there's a Han and Giselle spinoff that they ain't tell nobody about. But but I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe they'll meet them in outer space.
They do kind of need to go to outer. They kind of do need to ride a rocket. Like, that's the final thing to, like, a speed to go. They've got planes, submarines, tanks.
I want them missiles. To have to. I want them to have to drift a spaceship. Like, that's what I want them to have to do in order to save the day. I want them to have to drift a spaceship, and half the movie is them trying to perfect that joint. Like, Tokyo Drift.
They can try to get the shuttle in the right angle so they can drift to the right way to come into the Earth's atmosphere and not burn up or something or explode.
Exactly.
They just land in the water. With Tyrese freaking out the whole time.
Could you imagine him as they're, like, going back into orbit and they're all on fire and shit? And
then look, I'm too pretty for this. It'd be hilarious. Ludacris tells him to set up because him and Ramsey are, like, figuring out the exact calculations of re-entry because somehow, like, Ludacris' character is, like, a beyond MIT level freaking genius who was just slumming it in Florida fixing cars. Yeah. That's it.
By the way, Ramsey, these movies can go on forever as long as they keep putting her in these movies, man. I kind of love Natalie Emanuel.
I don't know why she's not in more movies because it's like Game of Thrones is almost over. I need to see her and stuff all the time.
Yeah, you know, as soon as that show is over, she's going to move on to some of the series or something. She has to. She has to. Because she's too
amazing. Damn accent.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, she's crazy. She's great. She's, you know, it almost makes me okay that Giselle's gone because they have her there. But damn, I loved having them both there for a while.
Oh, man. Wouldn't it be sweet if they had them both?
Man.
Yeah, that'd be a good time.
Yeah, man. So what do you think they can possibly go with this next movie without giving away anything, like giving away too much? Where do you think they can go with the next one? Because there's at least two more left. Where do you think they can go?
I think Deckard Shaw will be important.
Mm-hmm. You think Helen Mirren will be important without giving away her character in this one?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yes. I think there'll be some type of collaboration between Kurt Russell's Mr. Nobody and maybe like an equal British person like him. And it'll be connected, and they have to go. They gotta find Cobra. Like now, I know what the movie is. Like I've watched enough G.I. Joe. Like it's on. Like I think there might be some type of connection to past bad guys who are still alive.
Right.
If it was me, they can make a little like a little cabal. Like
I was gonna say,
like, okay,
do you think they're gonna
feed all of me?
I was going to say, do you think, like, all the bad guys from the previous movies are going to, like, gang up together, like the evil ex-boyfriends and Scott Pilgrim and just go after these guys? Go after Tom
The thing of it is, in some weird way, like, the cartel dude in 4 was working for Shaw.
They do, in a sense, kind of set up a whole Spectre sort of thing going on here, almost.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're right. It is possible that they could be heading in that direction. If we've only got a couple movies left in this, possibly, I still think they'll continue beyond 10 somehow. But because they're actually making more money now than they were in the beginning, so I don't know why they would stop. But they do seem to be kind of leaning in that direction to maybe setting up some sort of, you know, some, like you said, a cabal of their past foes, which would be, I mean, wow.
And that's how you bring Lucas Black and Bow Wow back. I want all plot fly holes tied up. I want every loose thread tied together, by 10. Like, I need it all coming together.
Yeah. We've seen Lucas Black. He was in 7, but he didn't appear in this
one. He wasn't in it long enough. He didn't get to drive.
Right. He didn't get to do anything. But he's got two more appearances.
Scott Eastwood.
He's got two more appearances on his contract. So I know he's probably coming back with these next two movies. I'm very curious to see how they're going to work him into this. But,
he's the replacement white dude, not Scott Eastwood. It's Lucas Black, the Drift King. He has the whole hero story.
He's the freaking Drift King.
Like, I don't need this replacement Brian guy. He's not, it's Lucas Black, hero of his own adventure, taught by Han himself. He joins the family. And he brings his annoying black sidekick with him.
And hopefully an Asian in a short skirt. He should at least have to bring one that comes with him.
They should bring Aoki back from 2. I want all threads tied up. I watched them all.
Yeah, the main girl in Tokyo Drift was pretty hot too. I don't know if they'll bring her back.
I want Ava Mendez to come back.
Yeah, she needs to come back too, at least for a scene or something. When was the last time we saw her? We saw her in what was it, at the end of Fast Five? When was that she came back in?
End of Five. She told Dom or Hobbs that she told Hobbs that Letty was alive.
Right. Fast Five was so perfect. Fast Five might have been like the perfect action movie.
It's the best one. I know other people make these lists like Vulture and stuff. Their lists are all completely wrong. Because Fast Five is the greatest Fast and Furious movie.
I think Fast
Black
Five is
Avengers
the best one.
Black Avengers 1 is amazing. Like, that's why I call it Black Avengers, because it did everything Avengers did before it.
Oh, man. Too funny, man. All right, before you go, man, I got to get your opinion of the Star Wars trailer. I know you probably watched it, too. What was your initial reaction to it?
It was nice and mysterious. Like, it didn't show you anything, but, like you know, you're going to get a training sequence, and I think Luke Skywalker going to die. Like, that's it. I was like, okay, let's see what's going to happen in December. Like, it's kind of a perfect teaser.
I have a feeling he's going to die, too.
Yeah, he's going to die.
I have a feeling he's going to die, too, and I think he's going to be a force being, like Obi-Wan and all those guys. It seems like that's the right destiny for him, is for him to be a force, a force spirit like the people who trained him. It seems like that's the way for him to go. It seems like that's the way for all these people to go. Like, when they do, like, the fifth franchise, the fifth trilogy, like, Rey will die and she'll be a force being, too, for somebody else.
That's just what happens now. You learn how to become a force ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to die. I'm not even like the super Star Wars guy. I still like watch the cartoons and stuff. So it has some nice little points in it. If you like watch Rebels, like Luke Skywalker's like, the Jedi must end. It's like, yeah, because they messed up, and so did the Sith. Like, they kind of got to destroy all of it. Like, we got
the Jedi.
Maybe Rey is the reason.
The Jedi keep messing up.
Yes.
The Jedi keep forming these little enclaves, and like one Bama shows up and destroys everything. I mean, like they need to. It's like, all right,
like,
maybe we need to do something else.
Go, and the Jedi and the Sith gotta go. Like, that's it. I hope Finn gets to do something.
He's gonna sleep in that, he's gonna sleep in that back to tank for the entire movie.
He's in that joint like Goku. he gotta get healed up. That Goku chamber. Breathing that water.
Oh, man, it's funny, man. All right, man. Well, this has been fantastic, man. There was only one person I could talk to about Fate of the Furious, and it had to be you. So I appreciate you taking some time out of your busy Saturday to come and talk to me about it, man. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me on. You know, I'm always going to talk to you like Avengers.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon, man. I'll see you at something. Am I going to see you at Guardians of the Galaxy at least? You going to be at that one?
Hell no. Come on. I hated the last movie. I hate it. Beyond Marvel hate, I think that movie's just bad. Like, I think it's stupid. Like, I could like Marvel and I wouldn't go to that movie. Like, that, like, no. That Thor trailer though was on point. Like, I ain't,
yeah,
like, beef
that
at
was
all.
A great trailer.
I was like, that's a good ass trailer.
I've been
like,
seeing a lot of Thor Ragnarok versus Star Wars, which one was better posts. And I'm like, well, I mean, well, the Thor trailer was a full trailer. This Star Wars was just a little teaser,
yeah,
so it's not really fair.
But still,
but
like,
the Thor trailer,
that's my friend from
pretty
work.
The Thor trailer is boss no matter. The Thor trailer is boss no matter what. It's just, it's funny as hell. It's got a ton of action. It looks like it's going to be great. I don't know. I'm excited for a Thor movie finally. I never have been before. So
that's my only dude I like.
All right, man. We're going to talk some more. I'll talk to you later, though, man. Thanks
for
coming
on. Peace.
All right, later. All right, that's Julian Lytle. I had to talk to him about Fate of the Furious. I couldn't talk to anybody else. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we ain't doing no more movies, man. That, I told you, that was going to be the only movie we talking about this week. We got Blu-rays. We got news. I'm going to talk a little bit about the trailer also, but I had to get Julian's opinion. So we'll be right back, y'all.
One truth.